Last week, I told you about some people who took a worldwide religion a little too far. This week, I'm going to tell you about the innocent kids who got wrapped up in all of their sick games. Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones, and I'm your host, Liberty Campbell. Welcome back. Last week, we covered some crazy stuff, and if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I suggest that you go do that right now, or else you are going to be very confused. I am going to get right into it today, but before I do, please be aware that this episode talks about murder, body mutilation, and extreme religious beliefs, so please proceed with caution. There is so much to this case, and I am going to try really, really hard to cover everything that's important. Last week, we ended with the details of the Church of the Firstborn, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later. I'm going to talk about the events that took place between September 2019 and June of 2020. On September 8th, 2019, Tylee, JJ, Lori, and Alex took a day trip to Yellowstone National Park, where they spent the day exploring and taking pictures at various places throughout the park. This is the last time that Tylee Ryan would be seen by someone other than her family. Her sudden disappearance goes unnoticed until JJ's grandparents, Larry and Kay Woodcock, were unable to get a hold of JJ during their regular calls, and Lori had no explanation of why the 7-year-old suddenly wasn't available. Later on September 24th, Lori, JJ's adopted mom, unenrolled him from Kennedy Elementary School, saying that she would be homeschooling him from now on and that public school just wasn't working out. The school's principal, Josh Wilson, said that there was nothing about the situation that raised any red flags, so he didn't follow up afterwards. In the state of Idaho, once a child is taken out of school for homeschooling, the school district is no longer responsible to regulate or monitor homeschool education. It is around this same time that Chad Daybell has a conversation with one of his friends named Julie Rowe. The conversation, she says, is really weird. And according to Inside Edition, Daybell told her his plan couldn't move forward until his wife, Tammy, dies. Julie said that she believes the plan he was talking about was his, quote, life plan, or the plan that God had for him. This was obviously a weird conversation because at this time, Chad's wife was alive and well. On October 2nd, an Amazon order was made for a wedding ring and shipped to Lori in Rexburg. It just so happens that 2 weeks later, Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife, was found dead at 49 years old. According to Tammy's obituary, she died of natural causes. The family declined an autopsy and buried her body. Since then, the police have determined that her death was suspicious and her body has been exhumed, but the results have not yet been released. Last week, I mentioned that Melanie, Lori's niece, had an ex-husband who hired a private investigator after he was shot outside of his Chandler, Arizona home. PI Rich Robertson observed Alex Cox and Melanie pack up a U-Haul in Arizona at the end of October. He told Inside Edition that they left children's toys in the gutter, despite Melanie and Lori both having younger children. When the two arrive in Idaho, an agent of Robinson's watched them unload the U-Haul and said that there was no sign of JJ or Tylee. This is when the Woodcocks realize that their grandson is unreachable, and so they contact the Rexburg police to do a wellness check. Before this, though, recent widower Chad Daybell was signing a new marriage license before the ink on his wife's death certificate even dried. On November 5th, 2019, Lori Vallow became Lori Daybell. The two ran away together to Hawaii and got married. And in the photos from the wedding, you can see that the ring ordered off of Amazon is making an appearance. So when Kay Woodcock could no longer reach her grandson, JJ, she requested a wellness check. Police perform a wellness check on November 26th at the newlyweds' home. The couple told police that JJ was staying with a family friend, Melanie Gibbs, not to be confused with her niece, Melanie Boudreau, in Arizona. But one phone call quickly proves that they lied. The next day, police returned with more questions, only to find that Lori and Chad had bounced. They were gone very abruptly. Because of this, police obtained a search warrant for the Daybell residence and the storage unit that Lori had rented on the 1st of October. The warrant gave them the right to seize any evidence that JJ was living anywhere in Idaho. as well as any evidence of foul play or any information leading to the child's whereabouts. The storage unit held bikes, toys, winter clothes, and a photo album with pictures of both kids, along with JJ's backpack, but nothing that gave any reference to where the two kids might have been. I'm going to bring up the document that was found on the computer of Ian Pawlinski, Melanie's husband. The document covered details about the Church of the Firstborn, but it also talked about how Chad and Lori admitted to them that the children had been possessed and became zombies. Melanie was concerned for the children's well-being because they had told her the same thing about her ex-husband, Brandon. They told her that he was possessed and needed to die. She worried that that was a sign of what happened to the kids. On December 19th, police officially named Lori and Chad as persons of interest in the children's disappearance. The FBI joins the investigation, and Lori and Chad insist that they don't know anything. They do this, though, from Hawaii. If my children were missing, or my child, I don't have children, I only have one, but if my child was missing, I sure as hell would not have run off to Hawaii with my brand new husband. Anyways, I'm moving on now. A few days after they were named persons of interest, the couple's attorney, Sean Bartholik, issues a statement on the couple's behalf saying, quote, Chad Daybell was a loving husband and has the support of his children in this matter. Lori Daybell is a devoted mother and resents assertions to the contrary. We look forward to addressing the allegations once they have moved beyond speculation and rumor, unquote. He adds that he does not know where the children are, and the couple hasn't issued another statement since. In early January, police follow through on a search warrant and collect 43 different items from Chad Daybell's Salem, Idaho home. They took computers, cell phones, journals, documents, and even medications. Later that month, a child protective action was filed on behalf of JJ and Tylee. Lori was served with the order in Hawaii, and the order gave Lori until January 30th to physically bring the kids to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare or the Rexburg Police. A search warrant served to the couple in Hawaii gave authorities permission to search their car and their persons. No one was arrested that day, but Nate Eaton, a journalist with EastIdahoNews.com, confronted Lori and Chad about the kids. This next sound clip is from his encounter with them. The entire video will be on the podcast blog, but I just wanted to play this short part for you guys.
I'm Nate Eaton with EastIdahoNews.com in Kauai, where Chad and Lori Daybell were served with two search warrants just hours ago. Law enforcement officers from Eastern Idaho, along with federal agents and the Kauai Police Department, pulled Lori and Chad over. They were driving a black SUV. They pulled into this resort where I am standing. They put Chad into one vehicle, Lori into another. That's when their vehicle was seized and they had no way to get home. We had a chance to ask them so many questions that need answers. Lori, Nate Eaton with East Idaho News. Can you tell me where your kids are? Where are your kids?
No comment.
No comment? They've been missing for 4 months. You have nothing to say? You're over here in Hawaii? Where are your children? Yeah, why don't you just give us a comment? Just tell us where they are. Chad, where are Lori's kids? What happened to Tammy, Chad?
It is sickening to watch them walk away completely unfazed by this man asking questions about the missing kids that they claim to love and care about. Their silence speaks volumes. After Lori fails to produce the kids, she is officially open to civil or criminal contempt of court. On the 10th of February, the news breaks that Tylee's phone had been found in Hawaii, and up until this point, authorities insisted that there was no evidence of Tylee or JJ ever being in Hawaii with Chad and Lori. 10 days later, Lori would be arrested and charged with two counts of felony desertion of a child, misdemeanor charges of resisting and obstructing an officer, and solicitation of a crime. Chad, at this time, is left a free man, and the two continue to deny any wrongdoing in the children's disappearance, but they say nothing about missing them or wanting them home. In the beginning of March, Lori is extradited back to Rexburg, and the FBI releases the last known photos of JJ and Tylee in Yellowstone National Park. It's at this time that they ask anyone that was in the park on that day to send any photos of JJ and Tylee and Alex's truck to the FBI. Now, think this is crazy because I have tons of photos from vacations with strangers in the background, and I can't even imagine one of them helping to solve a crime. So a few minor things happened between Lori being extradited back to the mainland and June of 2020. With the onset of COVID-19, court hearings are held online, postponed, and just a jumbled mess. But authorities in this time never stop looking for JJ and Tylee. Unfortunately, as you probably guessed, this story doesn't have a happy ending. On June 9th, 2020, human remains are discovered on the property owned by Chad Daybell just outside of Rexburg. The extended family of JJ and Tylee confirmed that the remains belonged to the two kids, and Chad was waiting across the street at his daughter's home while investigators searched the property. When they went to tell him about their discovery, he tried to leave, but was quickly pulled over and arrested. What an asshat. He was charged with 2 counts of felony destruction, alteration, and concealment of JJ and Tylee's remains, and felony charges of conspiracy to commit destruction, alteration, or concealment of evidence. I was curious about how they knew where to look for the kids, and I discovered that alongside of aerial images, they knew where to look on the Daybell property because of data points from Alex Cox's cell phone on dates near when the kids were last seen. An affidavit released by Detective Ron Ball of the Rexburg Police Department outlined the grim details of how the bodies were discovered and the state that they were in. This, again, will be linked on our podcast blog, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it. In the early hours of September 9th, cellular tracking, which can actually be accurate up to almost 20 feet, shows Alex Cox at Lori's apartment from 2:42 a.m. to 3:37 a.m. This is important because it is the only time that cellular tracking shows him at Lori's apartment between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. Now, Alex lived in the same apartment complex as Lori, but their apartments were not close enough for the cellular tracking to get his location mixed up. Later that morning, the GPS on Alex's truck shows that Alex was at the Daybell residence and his phone put him on the east side of the barn. On June 2nd, authorities contacted Chad's sister-in-law, or former sister-in-law, I guess, Samantha Jo Williams, to ask her about a pet cemetery on the property, and she informed them that yes, there was an old pet cemetery and it was on the east side of the barn. She was later shown an aerial photo of the property and she pointed out the exact location where Alex's phone pinged on September 9th. This same day, around noon, Chad sent his wife Tammy some quite strange text messages. This is what those weird text messages said.
11:53 a.m. Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all of the limb debris by the fire pit before it got soaked by the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and got my gun, and he was still walking along. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He's in our pet cemetery now. Fun times. 11:56. Gonna shower now and then go write for a while at BYU. Love you.
2:47 p.m. Good for you.
2:48 p.m. I'm back home now.
These texts are strange and like clearly trying to cover something up, right? They are suspicious to authorities because it's like common knowledge that raccoons are nocturnal animals and they wouldn't be out during the day. Like, I mean, maybe if they were sick or something, but it's not very common. Alex's phone pinged on the property from 9:20 a.m. to 10:39 a.m. After that, it pings in St. Anthony, Idaho at 10:47 to 11:39. He then returns back to the Daybell property, and less than 15 minutes later, Chad began to text Tammy about burning some things and then shooting the raccoon. JJ was last seen alive by Lori's friend Melanie Gibb on September 23rd. Melanie is the same friend that Lori told police JJ was visiting during the first wellness check. Her and her boyfriend David Warwick were in Rexburg with plans to record a podcast episode when JJ began to act up. Alex took JJ back to his apartment and later returned with the child sleeping in his uncle's arms. This was the night of September 22nd. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The last time he was seen alive by anyone besides family was September 22nd, not September 23rd. This was the night of September 22nd, and the next morning when waking up, Melanie and her boyfriend asked where JJ was. Lori told an insane story about him acting like a zombie, saying he had been crawling on the kitchen cabinets and knocked down a photo of Jesus. So Alex took JJ. This is what leads police to look at Alex's phone data one more time. He was at the Daybell property on the morning of the 23rd from 9:55 a.m. to 10:12 a.m. His phone just happened to ping near a pond located on the north edge of the property. By putting the phone pings, text messages, and the sister-in-law's statement together, they were able to determine that this is where they needed to look. Unfortunately, their suspicions were correct. On June 9th, 2020, authorities, local and federal, searched the property and discovered the remains of Tylee and JJ. Little JJ was found on the north edge of the pond under a patch of disturbed dirt, under a layer of sod, flat rocks, and some paneling. He was wrapped in plastic and buried feet first. Tylee was found near the barn at the pet cemetery. She was under a layer of rocks, dirt, brick, and wood paneling. At first, when they found Tylee, it was only two bones, and experts were not actually able to determine if they were human or not. As more bones were discovered, it became clear that Tylee had been dismembered and burned in an attempt to hide the body. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow are now awaiting trial. They are being tried together, and the deaths of his wife, Lori's husband Charles, the attempted murder of Brandon Boudreau are being investigated. As for Lori's brother Alex, he will never face justice for the role we all know he played in this, because he supposedly died from a blood clot in December of 2019, before his role in the kid's death was even known. This is a developing story with hours and hours and hours of information available. As the story continues to grow, I will share updates. Thank you guys for listening this week. I can't even begin to tell you all how good it feels to be back. I have some really pressing cases coming up, and I cannot wait to share them with you. I have said it in the past that these kids cannot be found if we don't know their stories. Please share this podcast with your friends and family, and remember, see something, say something. You can see source links, videos, and photos in my blog, themissingonespodcast.wordpress.com, and you can chat with me over on Instagram at Liberty Lorray. Have a great week, guys.